All right, we're back for another episode of Conversations with Community Managers. I'm here with my capable coworker, Shannon Abram. Hi, Shannon.
Hi, Jim. We are so excited to have a member of the CR Network with us today. We have Aaron Buxbaum with us. Aaron, we'd love if you could take a minute, introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about where you work and the kind of community that you work with.
Very happy to. Thank you to both of you for having me here today. And I appreciate Jim's use of alliteration there with capable coworker. That was fun. And it also worked with community as well. Ha! This is off to a good start. So my name is Aaron Buxbaum. I am currently and have been for the past about year and a half employed as a consultant with the World Bank Group on a project called Secure Nutrition. And you will see that this is where a lot of, I think, broad perspective on what community can really mean has developed in that period. So describe sort of what I do right now. If you take a LinkedIn group, like a constant contact email group, website, in-person seminars and learning events, and a lot of sort of both individual and organizational kind of networking connections, and you roll all those things together, that is sort of what I oversee on a day-to-day basis. And the fundamental thing that's driving all of that, say, connectivity and sharing across these different methods and modes is an attempt to improve the way that certain international development projects are designed, that they're implemented, that they're discussed, and that each of these projects can sort of learn and adapt from what the others are doing on a day-to-day basis. So that's given me some interesting perspective, I guess, on the whole community management thing, because on the one hand, I have, you know, oversight of this LinkedIn forum group, which, okay, there's 580 members, a discussion board, people posting resources, et cetera. Like, if you want to think about community from the, you know, technology and platform perspective, that is a very neat, discreet little group right there. But then I also have this much broader concept of community, which is, from a technical perspective, I'm supposed to be focusing, especially in terms of international development, on how nutrition is incorporated to different projects and programs around the world, but I'm not working only with other nutritionists or people in public health. We're also working with people who focus on agriculture, with people who focus on food security, with people who focus on poverty, with people who focus on water and sanitation, with people who focus on child development. So on the days that I feel like being very expansive, I can think of community as attempting to bring together all of these kind of different disciplines and different different types of expertise in a way that sort of increases the amount of understanding between each group and promotes, you know, better creation of these international development projects. So I have this, again, like discrete view and this very big picture view. I don't know if that gets at your question or if I'm already rambling too much.
It's a great introduction, and I think I'll speak for our listeners right now. It sounds overwhelming. So the ecosystem system that you've just described sounds like you need a cloning machine at your desk. And
yeah, that's great. Can we work on that?
Absolutely. So can you just maybe share a little bit about how you prioritize, because as you were explaining the LinkedIn group and then all the different pieces to the ecosystem that is important to you, I'm thinking, you know, that's another person, that's another person, that's another person. So explain how you prioritize what you focus on and you know, how you get stuff done.
Yeah. Okay. I'll give that a shot. So I'll start kind of big picture, and that is kind of based on my experience here so far and also working for a couple of years with another NGO, that did that worked on international development in the public health sphere. There is a strong interest among a lot of the people who are designing these projects and programs around the world on certain technical concepts, essentially, like the, you know, how to promote better nutrition with different, you know, behavior change approaches and different communications approaches, or how to influence policy in a way that has effects on individuals. And it's really, from a big picture perspective, those technical concepts that drive how I prioritize things. So the LinkedIn group, for example, right? People post reports every now and then, share different links. There's not a lot of discussion on there. And frankly, sort of my project and the World Bank writ large, it's not make or break whether or not that LinkedIn group kind of survives or thrives or advances or grows or whatever. So it's sort of just there on the side right now. And sort of as you were getting at, Jim, if I had, you know, more of me to clone, I would love to say, you know, clone number two, please go, you know, follow a good methodology for growing, making it more interactive, you know, maybe splitting off, et cetera, but just to focus on that, like, LinkedIn group and have that become its own kind of thriving entity with a real objective, with real organizational or strategic tie-ins, et cetera. But my priorities tend to fall back to, right now, actually, a lot of learning events and seminars and technical material. So I become a little bit more of, I wouldn't say fully on like the communication side, although that's definitely part of the work, but a lot of thinking through how are we going to get the next batch of needed information out to people. And that's where the core of things begins. And that, so I'll end up focusing on organizing seminars, thinking of different knowledge products that we can be producing, and then figuring out whether, you know, it's worth my time to kind of spread those far and wide, or just to focus in on a few people who we know really need that stuff and figure out which organizations they're at, or maybe it's just about sharing and having conversations here inside the bank.
Have you been able to deputize people in some of those different platforms to kind of be your eyes and ears and, you know, serve as community managers to a certain extent?
Right. Broadly, no. And that is in part for lack of trying. Like, for the LinkedIn, I look at that. I occasionally, you know, new people would join that group on a fairly consistent basis because I have my little, you know, sort of embedded behaviors and tricks now to push people and to grow that group. And it's about doubled since I started working on it. But I do a little, you know, welcome message, introduction, what to get out of the group, what can we, you know, kind of do for you. And there's people who respond who clearly are kind of, you know, they're into it. They're just like, I want to share, I want to know things, I'm passionate about, you know, ending malnutrition, and I want to help this group to do that. So there are people out there that I think I could turn to and kind of deputize, but it goes back to that issue of kind of priority and right, whether I really have the time to work with one people or develop a core group in a way that I know I'm going to consistently be able to hit. And yeah, it's a tough call for me to make. But again, since no one's super like, Aaron, make the LinkedIn group work.
Right.
You know.
So I've been reading a lot lately about this concept of a digital ombudsperson.
Yes.
Can you share kind of what you're thinking about in that area, what your perspective is?
Sure. And I'm super glad you brought this up. And I totally became aware of it. I haven't really read about it yet, but just the term, the phrase really struck a chord. But this came from a tweet by Rachel Happ, who I'm sure you know because she works a lot with Community Roundtable, I'm told. Her Twitter handle is at @RHAPPE, in case you're interested in following. But she put this little tweet out there about that she was reading about this idea of a community, sort of linking the idea of a digital ombudsperson to a community manager. And what that kind of means to me is having a community manager as a person who's effectively playing a translation role of what does it mean for an organization to take on these different, you know, technology-based platforms, these technology-based community platforms, Jive, Yammer. There was just a call about, you know, Facebook for Work a couple weeks ago on the CR. What does it mean to pick and choose among those, say, and then to begin the actual work of getting people to use it in a way that is, you know, strategic for the organization, that helps promote business outcomes, and that is also sort of ground level enough that people are a little bit sort of excited and motivated to use it sort of on their own accord. So again, it's just this idea that the community manager is there playing this kind of a little bit of a translation role, a little bit of an advocacy role, and just seeing how people want to use these digital platforms and also encouraging them to use it, even maybe if they're not so into it yet and they just haven't found that right bit of motivation for them to use it. Does that sort of make sense? It's just really, it's this translation thing that I see that's kind of fascinating to me.
It makes a lot of sense.
I think that's so interesting, and I would love to hear any advice you have, and I'm sure our listeners would love to hear any advice you have on sort of exactly the latter problem you mentioned, that maybe people want to share but are reluctant to use the tool, or maybe don't know how to use the tool, because for some people, I think a certain demographic of people that work in communities, like, we get it and we understand how social media works. We understand how community platforms work. So do you have any advice for maybe the reluctant community member and how to get people who want to contribute but are nervous or embarrassed or scared? Like, how would you get them to engage?
Yeah, no, that's a super good question. I definitely have no silver bullet for you, for sure. And maybe after I'm finished answering the question, I'm going to turn it right back on you and what you guys have to say. But the things that pop to mind are just kind of the fundamental one-to-one approach. You know, we've talked so far, this has been geared about, you know, like digital platforms and connecting people online and whatnot. And it's always important to remember that in many instances, you have the option of, you know, walking down a hallway and actually talking to a person, or of picking up a phone like we're kind of doing now and having a voice conversation, which can be better ways to sort of explore and access what is holding people back. Is it, you know, not being familiar with the technology? Is it not knowing who is going to see the words that they write, the things that they post, et cetera? Is there some hesitancy around their reputation? Is there hesitancy around confidentiality of what's being shared? There are like 1,000 different, you know, attitudes that could be driving a single behavior that we as community managers see is just, oh, they're not posting, or, oh, they're not interacting. But each one of those cases could be really individual. So you can, you know, approach the individual and try to, you know, do some types of assessments just through what seems like an easy conversation. But for you as the community manager, you're probably, you know, traveling through this little maze of attitudes and perspectives that the other person has to figure out, oh, that's why they're not doing it, and then see how you can bring them along for the ride. On the other hand, to play a little bit of devil's advocate, and this actually was a point raised by a colleague of mine at we had a delayed community managers appreciation day event here at the bank, and we flew a speaker up from Florida who works at Laureate International University, is absolutely incredible community manager, and she sparked some discussion, and one of my colleagues brought up the point that it is not our right, I guess you could say, or not necessarily our job to force the idea of community, right, on people who don't necessarily want to be a part of it. Just because we think it's cool and we can talk about strategic links to different platforms and how we're going to use it to, like, identify good practices and, you know, crowdsource votes on best practices and then make it policy or whatever the outcomes are going to be. not everybody's going to buy into that for different reasons. And there's only, you know, just in maintaining relationships with people, there's only so much sort of advocating and forcing the issue you're going to want to do, I think, at any one time. And it could be that if you find the right people and you bring them along, eventually there's sort of a larger socialization of those community behaviors or sort of social pressure, and they join for that reason. But I think it is worth noting for ourselves, since we're so into this, that not everybody is, you know, going to want to come along, and it's okay to sort of back off and just meet them where they're at and say, cool, like, you don't got to post, you know, every week. Maybe once a month you drop a line in and I'll say thank you to you, and that's your contribution.
That's really interesting. We, I think there's something to be said for sort of meeting people where, in whatever that sweet spot that they're ready to engage in.
Yeah.
And I think I really struggle with, like, but this is how you should be doing it. Like, it's the right way. And I, you know, and I think it's really important to step back and think, like, you can't make people engage a certain way, and only encouraging them to, you know, engage and interact in the ways that they're comfortable doing, and then making those small victories sort of snowball into something bigger. I think it's a really interesting idea to approach sort of a reluctant community participant. I think that's great advice.
Yeah. You see, I take a completely different tact. I like to shame people into participating.
Yeah, is that something you do? You find yourself doing?
No. I say that kind of tongue in cheek, but I do think there's a place where I'm about, and Shannon will laugh when I say this, but I like when people declare themselves, right? So if you've got people that say they want a community and then they don't follow through and participate the way that they said they were going to, that's where shame comes in. But I loved your advice about kind of going to them, finding out where their comfort lies, and then working with them to establish a routine based on their level of comfort. Yeah. That seems like an incredibly logical approach to bring along the folks that are, reserved, not as comfortable in the medium, you know, however you want to describe it. When I think of like new communities, and when I talk to companies about bringing their employees together, I think of the potential members in a few different ways. There's cheerleaders. There's folks that, you know, they're going to be the ones that they jump right in and they start participating and they love it. There's going to be folks that are kind of in the middle, and I call them fence sitters, and they could go either way depending on how you approach them. And then there's the naysayers, the folks that it's going to be really hard to get them to embrace it and become cheerleaders. So I try to focus on that middle group. The cheerleaders, they're going to be there no matter what. But if you can identify the folks that are, you've probably piqued their interest, but they just don't know how to embrace it, and you show them some models on how to dip their toe in a safe way, you're probably going to have the most luck.
No, that makes sense. And I like also your last point about sort of, you said it as showing them some models. I think that's the more sort of, you know, ground level and practical you can make it, of like, here's like physically where you go to post something or contribute, and we can do it once a week, and I'll like check in on you or something, if you're able to kind of get at that level of granularity. It just keeps it more tangible and keeps it real.
Right. And you know, what's really interesting is when you start having those conversations, I often find that there are offline examples of online activities. And if you can relate what you're doing online to something that they've probably already done offline, then it makes a lot more sense to them. And I'll give you one example of that.
Right.
Like, so I was working with an executive and trying to get him to consider blogging. And blogging, like in a technical sense, is very similar to journal writing. And so I just literally handed him a notebook and said, here's your blog. Like, you can start blogging today with a piece of, you know, with a piece of paper and a pencil, you're blogging, right?
Nice.
And what it did is he started writing these entries about what he was thinking about in his work. And, you know, a couple weeks later, we were able to take a look at them. And, you know, coach him a little bit on how to alter what he was doing. But still, those were the first few blogs that we ended up posting in an online community. So he got more comfortable with the cadence of sitting down and putting thoughts to paper and then kind of restructuring it so that it flowed and it asked a good question at the end and things like that. But it took an offline example and brought it online.
Nice. I like that, especially because I'm a fan of journals.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Shannon, do we have one more question, I think? I've got it.
You've got it.
I do. So, Aaron, we always love to close by asking, what is your community superpower?
That's a fun one. Community superpower definitely is that I'm highly collaborative. And so collaborative, in with that enthusiastic, and I think the blending of those things gives me like, there's, I don't know, something about like, I'm able to kind of gather people around and make them glad to be, you know, to have been gathered around something. So I'm pretty good. Yeah. So just this idea of like being able to connect with a lot of different people and kind of bring them together over common things. I think that's my superpower-ish.
Well, it resonates with me, you know, after speaking with you on this podcast, the word that popped into my mind after I asked the question, just having listened to you, was actually optimistic, which I think goes hand in hand with enthusiastic.
Yep.
Well, Aaron, it has been really wonderful to talk to you. I think you're working on such an interesting use case and application of community that a lot of people can take away some cool lessons from. So thank you so much for taking time out of your day to chat with us.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to chat with both of you. I hope you have a good rest of your, what is today? Tuesday.
Thanks, Aaron. Bye.
Cheers. Take care.
Thanks for listening to another edition of Conversations with Community Managers from the Community Roundtable. We'll see you next time.